The roundtable discussion convened at Lawrenson Memorial Hospital, the facility that's treated 28 overdose patients in the last 3 weeks. And Congressman Joe Courtney had to begin by sharing the news that just that morning a 21-year-old Waterford man had died of a heroin overdose.
In fact, I would actually think it would be appropriate to start this event with a moment of silence for the deceased and his family.
In a packed boardroom in front of lawmakers, municipal leaders, police officers, healthcare workers and addiction specialists, Tammy Sisko is one of the mothers who stood to share her story. Three of her five children are addicted to heroin, and Sisko's daughter is one of those who was treated at L&M on January 28th in the first wave of overdoses that brought the spotlight to New London.
They just discharged her that night from the ER. They found a place for her to go in Hartford, and they said there's no beds available. She goes on a waiting list, and it's now February 16th, and there's still no bed. So she's just out there and still using and waiting for a bed, is all I'm being told.
The difficulty of finding ongoing help for addicts was a theme that surfaced time and again throughout the hour-long discussion. Dr. Deirdre Cronin works at the ER at Lawrenson Memorial and dealt with many of the recent overdose cases. She called for a national database for opiate prescriptions, and she also spoke of the opportunity to reach out when an overdose patient is revived.
At that point, you really want to be able to take that vulnerable moment of that for that person and say, you know, if somebody hadn't called or you hadn't been where someone saw you, you would have died today. And the emotional impact of that is often a window into that person seeking treatment. So you don't want to just say, here's your discharge papers, see you later.
But if insurance won't pay, or if a bed can't be found, or if the patient's simply unwilling, the opportunity can be missed. Tammy De La Cruz runs a non-profit, Community Speaks Out, with her husband Joe, founded out of their own son's struggles with addiction. Now she helps other families.
I've had so many doors shut in our face over this. Nothing worse than a mother calling you and saying, my son is addicted, my daughter's addicted, my husband's addicted, and if there's no beds, you have no options.
Families spoke of the frustration of 30-day treatment programs, which are often too short to be effective, and of disastrous days in sober houses where drugs are all too available. Listening to their stories was Michael Botticelli, the director of National Drug Control Policy for the Obama administration. He is himself a recovering alcoholic and former drug user.
You know, I've been in recovery for a long time.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've been in recovery for a long, long time. Even people who are active in addiction have civil rights. And sometimes that's difficult for an emergency room physician to understand what that balance is. And I hear what you're saying. I can't imagine what it's like being a parent when your kid's on the street.
The administration has allotted more than $1 billion in next year's budget to fight the opiate epidemic, and Botticelli told the meeting he hopes that will fund many approaches, including overprescription and drug interdiction, as well as a proper continuum of treatment.
Someone shouldn't have to wait a long time for a bed, but also we need to create access points in many different places at our community health centers. We need more physicians to be trained to do that. But we have to look at a whole bunch of different solutions here. And I think that's what people are trying to say is there's no one thing. We have to do all of these things.
Joe Courtney and Senator Richard Blumenthal have welcomed the new federal funding, but say waiting till next year is too late. They've put in a request for a $600 million emergency appropriation to deal immediately with what they call a man-made disaster. Harriet Jones, WNPR News.